let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. I'm unstoppable, touch the sky. Level up, yeah, this is the fight. Feel the rush, can't kill the stride. Eyes ahead, I'm moving strong. This is the anthem, let's sing along.
Woo, here's a hot take on this week's episode.
Many times when I come across folks who feel as though they're behind, they say, "Ah, it's just too late. I don't know what to do." And it causes way more stress and anxiety than needs to. You have time, and there are steps that you can take to accelerate your timeline if you actually go through the process. So the number one thing I would tell most people out there is know that you have time, and it is obviously the best time to start was yesterday, but the next best time is today. So let's get the ball rolling and get the ball started on our financial plan.
Watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny.
Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast, where we take you through the seven pillars of abundance, helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today we are talking about the financial pillar of abundance with an expert. Welcome to the show, Andrew Giancola.
Rebecca, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
It's great to see you again. I had a great time on your podcast, and we're going to continue the conversation here. But first, let me ask the audience a question. What if financial freedom was not about restriction, but about creating a life that feels peaceful, empowered, and abundant? So many high-achieving women and people are making good money, but they still feel anxious, overwhelmed, or stuck in survival mode when it comes to their finances. Today's guest, Andrew Giancola, is here to simplify wealth building in a way that actually feels doable. I'm so excited to welcome Andrew to the show. And he is the host of an incredible podcast that you should definitely check out called the Personal Finance Podcast. And he's the founder of Master Your Money, an incredible wealth building platform. So Andrew's mission is to help everyday people build real wealth, reduce financial stress, and create lasting financial freedom through practical systems and smart money habits. Today, we're going to talk about amazing things like how to automate your finances, the step-by-step path to building wealth, how to stop feeling stressed out about money, the biggest mistakes people make that are keeping them broke, and why increasing your income matters more than most people realize. So welcome to the show, Andrew. So happy to jump into this with you.
Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be absolutely wonderful. And like you said, our goal here is to teach as many people as possible how to remove that stress out of their financial life.
And I think people are really stressed. And I feel like people are, I don't know if we're in a recession or what's happening, but I feel it. Like people seem really stressed out about their finances. Are you thinking that we're in a recession or just people are just stressed out in general?
From a market standpoint, what we're kind of seeing is the market is surging, but the difference is there is a huge income gap here where there's a lot of folks out there who are struggling to make ends meet because the cost of living has risen so much over the course of the last 5 to 6 years. And yeah. So what we're seeing when that happens is from 2020 to now, we really see that the cost of living has risen, but wages have not gone up with that cost of living, which is why so many people feel constricted. And really, the wealth gap has shifted even more over this time frame, where we see folks like the baby boomer generation, for example, are acquiring more wealth over that time frame, whereas some of the younger generations are still just getting started. And so the gap is very interesting to kind of monitor right now. And for most people, if they just shift their thinking and shift the way that they are thinking about their dollars, it can make a huge impact so they don't feel so constrained and so stressed.
Well, I can't wait to jump into the first question. So you teach people to become millionaires in a very practical way. What are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about building wealth?
I think there are a number of misconceptions that most people just don't even realize they think about. One big one is starting off is most people think it's taboo to talk about money. They think it's taboo to even have conversations about money. And in reality, what they need to do is talk more about money. This is one of those things where if you suppress your thoughts or you suppress conversations about money, you are never going to get ahead. To understand how money works, you have to think about it and you have to talk about it a little bit. Now, here's the cool thing about this. It's not like you have to read 50 books to understand what's going on. What you actually need to do is understand most of money is psychology. So it's about 80% psychology, only about 20% what you know. And so once you have the head knowledge and you understand what to do, then you can put it all on autopilot and you can start to automatically think through some of this stuff. So that's the first one. A second one is a lot of people think that you need to inherit money to build wealth. This really is not true. In fact, 79% of millionaires did not inherit a single dollar. And so this is really freeing because what this tells you is that overall, you do not have to inherit money. Instead, you can build it yourself. You can build this up yourself and you have the ability to build wealth. But it's just understanding what to do with that next dollar so that you can take those extra dollars and put them towards wealth building activities. And the third thing is that there are a lot of people out there who just believe they will never be able to do it. They just believe that this is one of those things that they got to take on the debt. They got to live in the fancy house. They got to do all these different things and they're never going to be able to build wealth. Instead, they're just going to go through life, live on Social Security and die. No, we want you to thrive with your dollars. And in fact, when you start to think about your finances, this is not a constricting activity. We want you to spend more on the things that you value and less on the things that you hate. And so when you spend on your values, you get to take more vacations. You get to spend more time doing yoga if that's one of your passions. You get to spend more time playing pickleball if that's something you want to do and spend more on those things that you love, but cut out all the excess, all the extra stuff that you could care less about. That's what we want you to do and how we want you to focus on your wealth.
I love that because I did have a financial planner help me with a budget one time. And I was like, I will take out all the fluff. I'll stop going to Starbucks. I'll stop doing all the little things, but the fitness and the tennis, I have to have like, that has to be the area where I do not have to put the guardrails on because that's like what's keeping me vital and healthy and alive.
Absolutely. And that is a great example of mastering the skill of spending. It's really thinking through, okay, what are the things that I absolutely love? Well, for me specifically, there's a number of things that I like. I like experiences. So when it comes to experiences, I like to travel and I like to spend time with my family, take them on day trips. We just went to Disney recently. There's all these different things that I absolutely love to do. And so that's one big value for me. Another example of this is fitness is a huge one for me. So I get active blood tests. I spend all this money on a home gym. I spent over $10,000 on my home gym because it's something that I truly, truly value. And so when you start to think about some of these areas, I want anybody listening to start to list out some of the things that they know they value, but then also think through some of those things that maybe you overspend on. Maybe you overspend on eating out and going to lunch every single day because that's just what your coworkers do. So it's just
being in, people spend a lot on DoorDash and, all the services that bring food to their house, they get addicted to it.
Exactly. So it's one of those areas where you can find some of these things that you're overspending on and then just cut back. Another big one is, let's say, for example, you go to Walmart or Target or the mall or wherever you go shopping and all of a sudden you walk in for one specific thing and then you walk out with 15 different items. I know I do that all the time. There's probably 12 Amazon boxes at my front door right now. But if you feel as though you're overspending in some of these areas, we really just need to reduce or cut out some of that stuff that you don't care about. Obviously, it's not bringing you joy and it's not bringing you value. And so if it's not doing that, cut it out. Why? Because it's going to reduce your stress and anxiety around money, and then you can spend more on the things that you love. See, money is just a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool to get you what you want in life. If you want more time and you want more freedom, put it towards investment so you can retire one day. If you want to spend more time doing some of the stuff that you love, like fitness and health, put more dollars there. If you want to travel more, put more dollars there. This is what we want you to do with your money instead of thinking that you have to hoard it and be frugal about everything.
I have to gamify it because I can spend a lot of money on Amazon and Target. So I'm like, how much can I get for $100? I try not to go above $100 because then I could just get out of control.
I love that. And I think there's a lot of different games like that you can play. One of my favorite ones is like cost per wear. If I go and buy this shirt, for example, I want to make sure I get a dollar per wear out of this shirt if I'm going to go ahead and buy it. And so it's little games like that can really help you as you start to think through purchasing decisions.
Yeah, exactly. So you often say income is the most important lever for building wealth. why do you think income, increasing your income is so powerful in comparison to just cutting expenses?
See, what most people do is when they start off, they think, okay, what are some of the things that I can cut out of my budget? And that's A-okay. And that's something that you can do, but this is pretty restrictive. And in fact, I want you to thrive with your dollars. I want you to spend more of the money on the things that you love. And so when we start to think through how to get our dollars together, sure, you can begin by cutting back, but I also want you to focus on your income. Why? Because your income and your earning potential is infinite. And this is one of those things where you can earn so much more money, but you can only cut back so much. So right. We have come across like a number of different people who are living paycheck to paycheck. And when you're living paycheck to paycheck, you can't cut back anymore. There's not much more that you can cut back, especially if your income is not high enough. So instead of having a spending problem, they have an income problem. And so as we start to think through this, we say, okay, well, what are some of the things that we can do to increase our income? Well, we can first negotiate our salary at our day job. This is the number one place that you spend a lot of your time. So if you are at your day job, learning the skill of negotiation is one of the most powerful things that you can do. In fact, we just did a study showing that if someone increases the amount that they negotiate by just 2% every single year at their day job, and they are making over $100,000 per year, they're going to end up making millions of dollars more, $2.4 million more over the course of their career, just by learning the skill of negotiation. So this is a multi-million dollar decision and a multi-million dollar skill that you can learn if you decide to go that route. Now, think about how much less stress you would have if you could increase your income, even just a little bit every single year. Because think about this, the rate of inflation over the course of the last 20 years has been around 3% on average. So if your employer only gives you a 3% raise every single year, or if they give you a 2% raise every single year, you just took a pay cut. You literally are making less than you did last year. And this is why so many people feel constricted when they are thinking about their money and when they are thinking about balancing, life and expenses. And so what we want to do is increase our income. So when you're thinking about your day job, I like to go through, and we talk about this all the time, a 6-month system where basically you meet with your boss and figure out what are some of the things that I can do to make more money. And then you go through a 6-month system, making sure that you are going to kind of get to the point in time where you get to your yearly review. And when you walk in, your boss knows exactly what you're asking for. But having this communication with your boss is really important. What a lot of people do is they just walk into their boss's office and say, hey, I want a raise. I've been working hard, and that's never going to work. No, you need to stay in communication with your boss over the course of the next couple months so that you can get on the same page. And the second thing that you can do to increase your income is you can start a side hustle or a side business. Now, my favorite way to do this is to think about this in a way where, what is a side business that I could start that could turn into a full-time income that can really allow me to thrive or really allow me to grow over time? And so you can come up with a number of different options that help you turn this into a full-time business. Now, sure, if you're in debt or you're trying to get out of a short-term stint, you can, do Uber Eats if you want to. But really, I want you to focus on something that can turn into something full-time or a side income that is tens of thousands of dollars. Again, we want you to thrive with your money. So we want you to make choices when it comes to some of these areas that help you thrive with your money. And then the third way that you can increase your income is just learning how to create passive income sources. So things like real estate investing, things like investing in the market, understanding how that stuff works is going to really help you long term. It is almost impossible now in today's day and age to be able to retire unless you are investing your dollars, investing in businesses or investing in the market or investing in real estate. You got to invest your money in some way, shape, or form. And increasing your income is one of the most important things that you can do.
What is your opinion about a high yield savings account, and what would be a good percentage to look for?
A high yield savings account is one of the best accounts that every single person should have open. Now, one of the reasons why we use a high yield savings account is really threefold. One is because we want to make sure that we have our emergency fund in there. And so that's going to help us kind of have that in place and a spot where it can grow a little bit more than your traditional savings account. If you open a savings account at like Chase Bank, for example, it's going to give you a 0.01% rate of return. Whereas if you open it up at somewhere like Ally or SoFi, or there's a bunch of different great online banks, they're going to give you anywhere from 3, 4, 4.5%, depending on that time of year and what interest rates currently are. And so you're going to make a lot more money in that high yield savings account. The second thing I like is when I look at a high yield savings account, I want it to have savings buckets. So savings buckets are these different buckets that you put into place where you can actually budget inside your high yield savings account. Well, why is this cool? This is cool because then you could put your vacation fund in there. You could put your new car fund in there. You could put your business fund in there. You can put, you know, anything you want to do. You can actually name these different categories inside of your high yield savings account, and it allows you to automatically save into that high yield savings account. So that's the second thing I love to use it for. And the third thing is any big short-term goals. So let's say you're saving up for a wedding. Let's say you're saving up for something long-term or short-term that makes a lot of sense over the course of the next 5 years to just start stuffing cash away. Well, a high-yield savings account is a great place for that. If you put that in the market or a taxable brokerage account, you know, if the market takes a dip like it did, you know, over the course of COVID or even in 2007, 2008, then the amount of money that you have in there is going to get cut in half. So we want to keep this safer into something like a high-yield savings account. That's the best way to look at it.
Amazing. Well, which one do you recommend? I know you're not getting any referral fees for any of this, but if you want to recommend a couple, which one would you recommend?
Sure. So two of my favorite right now are Ally Bank, because they have those savings buckets and they literally call them buckets. And that's going to be a place where it has a great interest rate and a great place to set up those buckets. And another place that has those buckets is SoFi. So SoFi also has those available. And what you'll notice is that a lot of the online banks are going to have higher rates than some of the, you know, traditional brick and mortar banks. So you want to avoid like Wells Fargo and Chase and some of those locations, just because those savings accounts don't have a high yield at all. Instead, you want to find your high yield savings account at some of these online banks. There's also places like Marcus or Betterment. Those are all great places to open a high yield savings account.
Amazing. Well, we are going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about how we can get over our stress and anxiety around money. Thanks everyone for listening. And we'll be back after this quick break. Did you know collagen production starts declining in your mid-20s and decreases every year due to factors like stress, sun, and hormonal shifts? By your 40s and 50s, that change can become even more noticeable, not just in your skin, but in how your body feels. Collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, and it plays a key role in skin elasticity and glow, smoother looking skin, joint comfort and mobility, and healthy and connective tissue support. That's why I've been loving Amari New Collagen, a simple way to nourish from within to feel radiant at every age, because beauty isn't about chasing youth. It's about supporting your body and feeling vibrant in the season you're in. Get the details and shop the link in the show notes for a special discount. If you haven't grabbed my Balanced Beautiful Bundle, what are you waiting for? This is my gift to help you create success without burnout and to elevate every area of your life. Inside, you'll get a free digital copy of my best-selling book, How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time, where I break down my signature 7 pillars of abundance and share 21 powerful affirmations to help bring every pillar to a level 10. You'll also receive my favorite ageless beauty tips, my life-changing abundance journal prompts, and the Elegant Warrior Manifesto. If you're ready to feel more balanced, more magnetic, and more abundant, head to the link in the show notes and grab all the goodness. Again, that's the link in the show notes, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We're talking to Andrew Giancola, a wealth expert. So, Andrew, a lot of successful women still carry stress and anxiety around money. What do you think is really happening emotionally when people feel financially overwhelmed? And this can happen to someone who is not making a lot of money or someone who's making a ton of money. It doesn't seem like it's always connected to how much money someone's making. Just certain people have a lot of anxiety when it comes to money in general. So what advice do you have to get over fear of financial insecurity and anxiety around money?
You'd be surprised at how many high net worth individuals are extremely stressed about money. And a lot of this is because they were wired this way. So your upbringing has a significant impact on how you feel about money and how you think about money and some of the ways that you are going to see how money works. For some of you out there, maybe you grew up and you were really poor. You grew up in a situation where you had zero privilege whatsoever. And so you were there and feel, you know, your parents were just trying to get by. They were stressed about money. Maybe they were arguing about money, or maybe you were even in a single parent household. And if that's the case, then the way that your brain is wired about money is going to be very different. You may have a scarcity mindset. You may feel as though, you know, I never got to experience certain things. And so maybe you overspend in some areas because of that. Let me give you an example of this. Is one of the things that I realized very early on was at Christmas time, my family would celebrate Christmas. And so when we would celebrate at Christmas time, we would get presents. And my parents would only spend a certain dollar amount every single year. And if I remember correctly, it was something like 50 or 100 bucks. And so every single year, that's what they would spend on us for Christmas. Looking back, that was a great amount of money. But when I was thinking through this, I thought, okay, well, my friends around me are getting way more stuff than I will. My parents stuck to this specific budget. My friends and family would kind of get way more than I did. And so when I looked at that, all of a sudden I became an adult. And when I became an adult and I had my first child, I actually just showered him with way too many gifts at the beginning. And I realized and thought back, oh my goodness, this is because of my upbringing. And this is kind of what I wish happened to me. I got to dial this back or I'm going to spoil this little guy. And so we had to kind of change the way we thought about money. So the way you're brought up is a huge, huge impact. The second thing is maybe you grew up in a privileged household. Maybe you're in a household where, you know, you got a lot of stuff. And so you feel as though you need to prove yourself, and or you feel as though, you know, money is just an easy thing to get and you don't have to worry as much about it. Then you become an adult and realize, oh my goodness, there's a lot of responsibility that I have in place. And all of a sudden you have this fear and this stress because you can't live the lifestyle you once thought you could. And so there's all these different examples that we could go through about your upbringing and how it impacts your thinking. And so this can stress a lot of people out when they don't recognize this. So what I'd recommend for a lot of folks out there is first, think about your upbringing. What are some of the things that your parents did, or what are some of the things that your parents talked about when it came to money? Were they the type of people that said, hey, turn the lights off before you walk out of the house? You know, the electric bill is one of those things that they, you know, were harping on all the time. And or was it something where they were really relaxed? Did you grow up in a family that only ordered water, or were you a sodas and appetizer family? There's all these different examples. And I want you to think through and recognize how you grew up. Then say to yourself, what different money beliefs do I have that caused me to feel this way, that caused me to feel this way about money? Because once you start to identify this, then you can make shifts to reduce your stress and anxiety. And so a lot of people start off this way. They feel stressed because of this. The second reason is because they are stressed about money. Maybe it's they're anxious about, you know, they feel as though they'll never have enough, or they feel as though all this could run out, or they're just trying to get by. Then we need to develop a plan that's going to make sense to reduce that stress over time. A lot of people, like you said at the beginning of the show, feel constricted. And if they feel constricted, their stress is going to rise. And so we just need to find solutions. And a lot of it depends on financial education that can reduce that stress and anxiety.
I feel like people can have anorexia around spending. Even Absolutely. Some of the wealthiest people I know, I mean, they're wearing like shoes and, you know, pants with holes in them because they have so much fear around money. So like you said, it's based on your childhood more than how much money you actually have in the bank.
And you'd be amazed. There are so many people out there who I know who are multi-millionaires that can't even bring themselves to take a vacation. And a lot of times when I speak to those folks, we have to work on trying to figure out exactly where this is coming from, and then seeing if we could develop something called what I call the skill of spending, because spending really is a skill. And either you spend too much or you spend too little. And when we're thinking about this, we got to figure out, you know, what do we value? It comes back to the values again, and identifying those values and then spending more on those things that you love.
Yeah. So let's talk about someone who feels behind. Like you just mentioned, you know, they had a privileged childhood and they feel like they're not going to be able to live that way as an adult. And they feel like, oh my God, I'm in my 40s or 50s. I thought I would be so much further ahead by now. I'm missing it. What would you say to someone who's feeling behind?
This is a great starting point, because what I want those people to know is, first of all, it is never too late to get started. Many times when I come across folks who feel as though they're behind, they say, oh, it's just too late. I don't know what to do. And it causes way more stress and anxiety than needs to. You have time, and there are steps that you can take to accelerate your timeline if you actually go through the process. So the number one thing I would tell most people out there is know that you have time, and it is obviously the best time to start was yesterday, but the next best time is today. So let's get the ball rolling and get the ball started on our financial plan. Now, the first thing I would do is making sure that you start to think through, you know, what is your employer match where you currently work? So if you work somewhere and you have a W-2 job, you can look and ask your employer, hey, is there a 401k match or is there an IRA match that I have available to me? Why is this important to look at first? Because if your employer matches your contributions at your day job, then this is a 100% rate of return on your money. It is literally free money if they give you this option. So that's the first place to start just to get the ball rolling, because you can't get a 100% rate of return anywhere else besides your 401k match. But the second thing I would say is then we need to focus on protecting our finances. And so this is where things like the emergency fund come into play, where you want to build up an emergency fund that makes sense for your financial situation. And so I talk about this thing called the 1-3-6 method. Now, what is the 1-3-6 method? It means that first, you save this up in phases. Traditional advice is going to say, hey, save $1,000 in your emergency fund, or just save 3 months. That is going to be A-okay. But instead, I give you kind of like a framework that helps you save up in your emergency fund to make this much easier. So first, you go and look at making sure you save up 1 month of expenses. Why do you do this before some other things? Well, the reason is this protects you against life. If your car breaks down or your water heater breaks, you are going to have the money just there. And what happens when you have the money just there? Stress and anxiety melts away. I cannot tell you, the first time I had cash on hand when I was living paycheck to paycheck, when I first got started in my early 20s, I decided, okay, I'm going to get my finances together. And so I started to save in an emergency fund. And right when I finished saving in my emergency fund, I had a $2,500 car repair that popped up. I had an old car and there was an oil leak. I had to replace the oil leak. And I could not tell you how little stress and anxiety I felt. Why? Because the money was just there. And it took away all my money stress, all my money anxiety. And instead, I could just take care of that repair bill and move on with my day. And so this is the power of having that first month on hand, is it just helps you take care of all the little things that life throws at you. Secondarily, though, is then once you have that first month ready to go, that's going to protect you against life. But then we need to look at our debt, because if we have high interest debt, things like a credit card, for example, then we want to make sure that we start to get rid of some of that high interest debt. Mm-hmm. So what is classified as a high interest debt? Well, I classify anything above a 6% interest rate outside of your mortgage as high interest debt. So this could be things like a car note. This could be things like your credit card. It could be, usually it's credit cards, you know, personal loans, those types of things. Well, if this is a really high interest rate, we want to make sure we get rid of this, because it's compounding against you. It's working against you. It's a wealth killer. And so we want to make sure that we get rid of that debt as fast as we possibly can. Then we move to the three. What does the three stand for? 3 months of expenses. And so we want to look at saving enough for those 3 months of expenses so that this can protect you against a number of different things in life. And then ultimately, what I think an emergency fund should have, especially in today's day and age, is 6 months. So traditional advice may say, oh, you could have 3 months. You could have 2 months, but really, I believe 6 months is the minimum. Why? Because of job loss. If you lose your job, then you want to make sure you have enough cash on hand to cover you for 6 months so that you can go through the interview process. You can send out your resumes and you can actually select a job you enjoy. You can actually select the job that is the good fit for you, not having to go and run out and get the next job available and then being in a job you hate with a boss who screams at you every single day. No, instead, we want you to have enough cash on hand so you can protect yourself and your family over the course of the long run. So this is why we put 6 months as the minimum. Hey, AI is a real threat today. There's a lot of other threats to jobs. It is very hard to find another job. And so 6 months is my minimum. And so that's how I would get started before you start to hit some of the investing levers, is going through some of this so that you can get the ball rolling. And I can talk more about investing as we go through this. But once you get to having an emergency fund in place, you are starting to really solidify a great financial plan.
That makes a lot of sense to have an emergency fund. And I like that you give people, you know, because some people don't have 6 months cash, but you can start with one and then build your way up. And then what if somebody can only afford to make the minimum payment on their credit card? Do you encourage them, like, even if you can go like $40 or $50 above the minimum, to start to chip away at it?
Absolutely. You want to make sure that you're at least getting, you know, every extra dollar that you have available, just chip away at that credit card, because that is going to compound against you. And most credit cards, when you look at the interest rate, it is going to be anywhere from 15 to 35%. I saw one as high as of recent as 40% with a store credit card that someone had that was just crazy compounding against them. In fact, every time they made payments, the balance would just continue to grow more and more and more. And so if you can only make the minimum payment, there's two things to look at. One is try to make a little bit of a higher payment. If you cannot do that, let's look at our income and see if there are ways that we can increase our income to focus on paying that down. Because a credit card in reality is something that is detrimental to your wealth building. And so if you can, this would be the time that you would maybe do the Uber Eats, or this would be the time that you'd maybe do some side hustles that are quick cash, that you can take that extra cash and pay off the card. Another thing that you can do, and this is one of my favorite strategies that most people just don't do enough, is sell things in your house you don't use anymore. Sell them on Facebook Marketplace. Get rid of those items that you really don't care about. My garage is full of things, embarrassingly, that are just things I don't use anymore. I have young kids. We have toys. We have all these different things that I can think of right now on the top of my head that I would love to sell right away. And so I am the shameless guy. I will sell something on Facebook Marketplace for $15. I don't care. I will meet up with somebody and sell it for $15.
What's the craziest thing you've ever sold on Facebook Marketplace?
So I sold a rake that did not have a handle. And I posted and I said, okay, let's see if somebody will take this. And somebody came and took it for $5 that did not have a handle whatsoever. I was just going to throw it away. And I'm like, no, let me just post it and see what it is. And somebody came and took it and they wanted it and they already had a handle and they just kind of duct taped the handle on there and it was cheaper for them. And it worked out for me as well. So there's just hilarious things like that that I do all the time. And it is what my wife's always like, what are you doing? This is like, you know, it just doesn't make sense. But for me, it does, because there's a lot of things that you can do with those dollars. And if you're in debt, that's a great reason to sell stuff you don't use anymore, pay down that debt, because it'll pay you tenfold what it is actually earning you right now sitting in your garage.
Great advice. So if someone's living paycheck to paycheck, there's too much month left over at the end of the money, what is the first financial habit they should implement immediately after hearing this podcast?
So the first thing you need to figure out is one of two things. One is, do you have a spending problem or do you have an income problem? Now, the way that you figure this out is you kind of go back and you look at some of your spending. So what I would do is look at my last 3 months of spending. And you can do this a number of different ways. Now in 2026, you can actually throw some bank statements in, just cross out some of your personal information. But you could throw bank statements into like Claude or ChatGPT or whatever else you like to use, and it will actually tell you how much you're spending in some of these categories. But you want to look at three different areas. One, you want to look at your baseline expenses. These are your essential expenses. So your housing, your transportation, your food, your medical bills, even health and fitness, I would classify as something that is necessary and something that you should put in your baseline expenses. Secondly, you want to look at something like your fun spending. So the spending that you're doing, like going to the movies or going on date nights or going and doing, you know, travel, all those fun things that you spend money on, clothes, shopping, that kind of stuff. We want to make sure that we are looking at that as something of spending. And then third, we want to look at how much we are putting towards wealth building and debt. That's going to be the third category that we want to look at. When it comes to your baseline expenses, they should be in the range of 50 to 60% of your income or less. If it's higher than 60%, then either we have a really high baseline expense on something like a mortgage, or maybe you're overspending on your car loan, or maybe you're overspending in some of those different areas, or you really just don't make enough. So that's the one that's going to give us a really, really good indicator on what we're starting with. And then you want to look at some of the other two categories. What are you spending on fun stuff? Maybe it's going out to eat. Maybe it's Uber Eats, like you mentioned earlier. Any of those different things that we put into this category is going to be all the fun stuff. And we want to figure out what that percentage is. If that percentage is super high, but you're also investing your money, then that's great. But if it's super high and you're living paycheck to paycheck, then that's an easy cut that we can kind of reduce right away. And so that would be more likely a spending problem over an income problem. Then the third category is wealth building. We want to make sure that we are, you know, paying off debt, saving the emergency fund, and saving forward towards our investments. And we want to make sure that's at least at a minimum 20% of our income. If it's not, then we can make some adjustments here. So really the baseline expenses, the expenses of the essentials is going to tell us if it is 70, 80, 90%, well, then we either have a problem with our income or we're just not making it enough for where we're living. Or secondarily, we are overspending on some of those baseline expenses. And the biggest culprit is housing, food, and transportation. If you look at those three, because those three are essential expenses, if one of those is way out of whack, it can throw people off and it can cause them to live paycheck to paycheck. Here's an example. I just talked to a guy recently who was making $800,000 per year and he was spending $805,000 a year. He was actually spending a negative amount every single year. So this can happen with high income and low income. And a stat just came out that 71% of high earners making over $150,000 per year are living paycheck to paycheck. So your income isn't always the reason. Sometimes it's a spending problem and sometimes it's your income.
Oh, that's interesting. He makes $800,000 and he spends $805,000. So what did you tell him to cut? We're not saying his name, so you're not breaking his confidentiality. How did you get him to cut expenses to make a profit?
It was the easiest conversation I ever had. There were all these different liabilities that were in place of stuff he didn't even use. So he had all these toys like boats and RVs and all these different things. We went and cut some of that stuff. But then we looked at his housing. And his housing ended up being 45% of his income because he had a second house as well. And so he was spending a massive amount on housing. In reality, we want you spending 30% or less of your income on housing. So this is things like your mortgage, but also like the maintenance and other expenses. And you got to figure out what your total cost of ownership is when it comes to housing. And so we figured out what that was for him. And he kind of realized, oh, I couldn't afford that second house that I just purchased. And I really overextended myself. So that was an easy one. Everything else actually was completely fine and he can afford it, but it was because he took on a second mortgage that was a really expensive house that just extended him way too far.
Good point. Yeah. So let's do this. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we're going to come back, we're going to talk about automation and how automation can help people with their finances. Yep. Thank you for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, and we'll be right back. What if your dream retreat really existed and you got to help create it? If you're a high achieving woman who's been doing all the things, I need your help. I'm planning my next luxury wellness retreat and I don't want to create what I think women want. I want to create what you actually dream about. Tell me, what's your dream destination? What activities would light you up? What feels like the perfect investment and how many days would help you truly reset and realign? Think wellness, connection, community, adventure, luxury, rest, and whatever feels nourishing to you. If you've been craving success without burnout, this retreat is being designed with women just like you in mind. Take my 2-minute survey. It's linked in the show notes. And who knows, your dream retreat might just become a reality. Do you feel like your love life is stagnating? Have you been single forever and feel like giving up on love? Or maybe you're in a relationship that's lost its magic. I want to give back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant community with a complimentary 15-minute romantic reset call. It's a space to reconnect, reset, and recalibrate your energy around love. Together, we'll uncover what may be blocking connection and create a fresh spark so that you can feel more open, aligned, and ignited in your love life. Because love isn't about forcing or chasing. It's about creating space and becoming magnetic to the connection you truly desire. Get the details and book your complimentary reset call in the show notes. Welcome back, everyone. So, Andrew, you talk a lot about automation. How can someone automate their finances so they don't have to constantly think about their budget and their money?
Here's the beautiful thing about automation. Just like you said, is if you hate budgeting and you feel as though the word budget in your household is a cuss word and it is not something you ever want to hear ever again, well, here comes money automation, because you can actually automate your finances and do very well overall without having to start a budget. But it's going to start with you and how you set up these automations. So the first area that you want to make sure you're automating is trying to pay yourself first. If you've ever heard of this concept, pay yourself first, this is just you saving for your savings and saving for your investments in a way that you treat it like a bill. So you send those dollars to your investment accounts automatically every single month. You send those dollars to your high yield savings account for your emergency fund or maybe some of your other savings accounts, and you pay yourself first like a bill. And so this is where we were talking about when we break it up in percentages, you want to try to get to 20% of your income or more when you start to get the ball rolling. Now, if you're saying to yourself, 20% of my income, I'm just barely getting by, Andrew, how could you even say that? Well, start with the amount that you can start with and then slowly turn that dial up month over month or quarter after quarter or year after year. So if you can only save 5% of your income, next month, try to save 6. The month after that, try to save 7. And maybe the month after that, you can't get to 8. And so you wait 2 or 3 more months. Ooh, you got a nice little paycheck that came in. Now try to get to 8 and slowly just increase that dial over time. Because what you're going to realize is you're going to wake up 2.5 years later and you're saving 20% of your income, which would never happen until you got used to it and slowly increased that dial. So that's the first tip I'd give you, is kind of thinking through that. So automate your money towards your investments, things like your Roth IRA, your 401k, your HSA. There's a bunch of wonderful accounts that are out there that you can start with. And if you have ever woken up and said to yourself, hey, I have way more money in my 401k than I ever thought I would, that's because of automation. It's automatically coming out of your paycheck and it's going into your 401k. And so that is how automation starts. The second thing is to automate our bills. So most people are familiar with this. You put your bills on automatic payments every single month. If you don't do this, you are doing way too much with your money. It is way easier just to automate and auto pay your bill. And what you can do when it comes to your bills is set those bills up on specific dates. So most people don't know this, but you can actually move the date of a lot of your bills and you can call up the provider and they will move it on the day that you want it to. So if you move all your bills to two different days, maybe it's a couple days after you get paid, this helps you just keep organized and helps you know when some of these bills are going to come due. What some people do is they let their bills scatter across the entire month. And then they have these weeks that they have this huge bill hit them. And it's very hard to keep track. But you can actually move these around and then automatically pay them on auto pay. It's very easy. Also, if you like to use a credit card and you are responsible with credit cards, I like to put all of my bills, as many as I possibly can, on a credit card. Why? I get points and rewards and miles. You heard me talk earlier in the show about how much I love to travel and how much I love experiences. Well, those points and miles are really valuable for me. They're thousands of dollars of free travel every single year. And so I put all my bills in that credit card and then just pay it off actually on a weekly basis. There's no true benefit to paying it off on a weekly basis, except it just keeps me on top of the card. And so that's why I do that. If you are someone though, who has in the past had problems with credit cards, probably not the best option for you. Just pay cash out of your checking or savings account or your debit card. But if you are responsible with cards, paying off all of your bills on your card and then paying that card off in full every month is an awesome way to do this. So now we have these automations set up for investments, and now we have one set up for making sure that we are paying our bills. The third thing that we want to do is make sure that we are saving. So this is where those savings buckets come into play. Maybe you have a goal to save up for a wedding, or maybe you want to save for your vacations, or you want to save in your car repair fund, or you want to save all these different things. Well, instead of having to budget, you could just send money automatically to those savings buckets. And this allows you to automatically budget without having to lift a finger. You don't even have to think about it. In fact, I logged into my high yield savings account the other day and had way more in my car repair budget than I thought I would ever need. So I just started to take some of those dollars and move them into another category. So I have the ability to do that. But it just happens on autopilot. The cool thing about this is it removes your willpower from the equation. How many times have you said, oh, I want to save up cash for my next vacation, and then all of a sudden a year goes by and you only have $200. Well, this is because your willpower is involved in the equation. So instead, removing that willpower from the equation is going to help you tremendously as you start to think about your money and as you start to think about your dollars. And so automation allows you to do this, and it allows you to budget in a seamless way that makes sense. So this is where I have most people start, is investments, paying off bills, and your savings. Then beyond that, you can make your automations more and more complicated as time goes on. But this is just a great starting point, is in those three categories, so that you can get the ball rolling. And then obviously things like your debt payments, those would fall under the bill category. But automating those as well is very, very important.
You're very disciplined. I mean, most people can't, you know, pay their credit card every week. Like what ways do you have in place that make you so disciplined when it comes to money? Like, what is your mindset around it?
So originally, I was struggling with this as well. In fact, weeks would go by and I knew I wanted to pay it off every week, but I just didn't know, you know, I didn't have the willpower to do it. So I set up a little mini calendar reminder on Fridays. Every single Friday, it goes off and it tells me, hey, pay off the credit card. And this is a time that's typically outside of like when I'm doing something. So it's either early in the morning, or I used to kind of do it later on in the evening. And then I would send my wife a text and say, hey, pay off your credit card as well. So we both would just be on the same page of paying our credit cards off in full on a weekly basis. Again, no specific reason for this outside of I just want to stay on top of it. But also on the back end, if I did ever forget to do this, I also have an auto pay set up on my card so that it automatically is paid at the end of every single month, no matter what. Because the biggest thing when it comes to credit cards is the number one rule is we never want to give the banks a single cent. We want to use them for our benefit, but not the credit card company's benefit. So that's the way we want to think about this as we start to protect ourselves and protect our long-term wealth building.
Yeah, you're the bank's nightmare when it comes to credit cards. I love it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I want to be. And everybody listening right now, you want to be to become the bank's nightmare. Even if you're in credit card debt right now, say to yourself, I'm going to pay this off and I want to use credit cards for my own benefit, not the bank's benefit.
So what is your opinion on an abundance mindset? Spiritual people are like, oh, you know, don't stress around money. If you spend it, the universe is, you're showing the universe that you have an abundance mindset. It's energy. You'll make it back. Don't worry about it. Like, you can't be so controlled around it because then that's restrictive and it's resistance and the universe is not going to send you more. That's the spirituality version of it versus practical financial strategy. Do you think people need both? Is it possible to have an abundance mindset and be practical?
Absolutely. I personally feel as though I have a massive abundance mindset. That's all I think about it. That's why I think that increasing your income is one of the most important things that you can do, because you can earn infinitely. And it's one of those areas that if you have an abundance mindset, you know the money is going to keep coming. And if you just keep doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, it will continue to grow over time. In addition, when you invest your dollars, I believe, and my goal is to create a million millionaires. And the reason why I believe that is because there is so much abundance out there. And if you start to just slowly invest your money automatically, you don't have to worry about it. It's not restrictive, because instead, what you're thinking through is you are putting your dollars towards the things you actually value, towards the things you actually want, and cutting out the stuff you don't want. And really, what you don't want is just having stress and anxiety around money. And you really just want to have more time, more freedom to do what you want with whom you want and do what you want day in and day out. And that's in reality what most people want. And so the thought process here is to automate your money so you don't have to think about it. You don't have the restriction of a budget. You don't have to really worry about that process. Earn as much as you possibly can and try to increase your income over time. If you're in a job where your income is capped, that is completely fine. But spend more on the things that you love and cut out the things that you hate. If you do those three things, you're going to have an abundance mindset, but also have the ability to not feel restricted at all.
So what are some simple wealth building habits that people can start doing today that are listening that can have a long-term impact? I know you've already mentioned a bunch, but if people listening to this just did three things that would change their spending and have a big long-term impact, what would they be?
So the first thing would be to think through, okay, let's spend less than we make. And so when we spend less than we make, we create a gap. And the gap is where wealth is built. And so if you think about your income and you think about your expenses, no matter what the difference is between those two, you either have a negative gap or a positive gap. So creating that gap is number one. And so we want to focus on that gap and taking those extra dollars and putting them towards things that actually bring us value. And so for some of you out there, you may be listening and saying, hey, I am in a job that I do not like right now. I'm in a cubicle, or I'm running a business, or I am doing something that I do not like doing anymore. So what do you want? Most likely, you're going to want freedom. And so financial independence is possible for anybody listening to this podcast right now, but you have to take the steps to pursue this. And so the number one thing you can do is starting to invest your money. And investing your dollars going forward is going to allow compounders to start working for you. So you can invest it in a number of different places. You can do this in retirement accounts, which have tax advantages. So a HSA or a Roth IRA or a 401k at your job. There's all these different great places that you can invest your money. I like index funds and ETFs. There's all these different investments out there that you can look into. But I just like them because they're low fee and they're easy. They're passive. You don't have to think about them. You just invest in them and they grow over time. And so it's one of those areas, I think, for most people is A, increasing the gap. B, starting to invest your dollars, and C, protecting yourself with an emergency fund and the downside is going to be the three things to get you started where you can absolutely transform your finances just by doing those three things. And then once you increase your income and you start to see that income grow, all of a sudden the gap grows between your income and expenses and you can decide what to do. Maybe you want to spend half of it on things that you love and you want to spend more on things that you love and you want to take the other half and put it towards future you so you can buy back your time. But buying your time, for me specifically, is one of the most valuable ways to spend your dollars.
I agree, because money, we can make it, spend it, make it again. But time is something that we never get back and we don't know how much of it we have left. So not knowing how many days left we have on the planet and not being able to ever get time back makes it our most valuable resource. Do you agree?
I completely agree. And time is your most valuable asset. You cannot get it back. And the last thing you want to do is be laying there on your deathbed and regretting the time that you spent. And money is the tool that gets you your time back so you don't have to worry or stress anymore. It is a tool. That's all it is. It is not to get you stuff. It's not to get you designer things, or it's not to get you, you know, fancy cars or big giant houses. No, it's the tool to buy back your time. And then you can spend that time doing the things that you love. Now, if you love designer, you love a big house, you love a fancy car, great. Money's the tool to get you that. But also, you want your time back. That's, you want your Tuesdays back. You want your Wednesdays back so you can do whatever you want on those days.
Well, this has been great. We're going to end with some rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
One book everyone should read about money.
The Millionaire Next Door will absolutely change your mindset. It teaches you essentially that money is not about, or building wealth is not about the fancy stuff. It's more so about, you know, living a lifestyle that makes sense for your specific life.
Biggest waste of money that people normalize today.
The
biggest waste of money that people normalize.
The biggest waste of money that people normalize today. That's a really good question. So I think one of the biggest wastes of money out there is for sure this whole thing about like DoorDash and all those different areas. Now, if you like convenience, that's great, but like it quadruples the amount that you're spending on something than for you to just go out and grab it. So for me specifically, it doesn't bring me enough value and it actually takes longer for them to come to me. So that's one big waste of money in my opinion.
Best investment you ever made?
Best investment by far that I have ever made is for sure in my health, but then long-term, it's just being patient, investing in index funds long-term.
Best purchase you made under $100?
Ooh, that's a good one. The best purchase that I have made under $100 is probably going to be, so I had like chronic knee pain and it was just tendonitis in my knee. And so I found this sled on Facebook Marketplace, like a weighted sled that you can walk backwards with. And so if you walk backwards with a weighted sled, it actually removes your knee pain when it comes to the tendonitis. And it actually took it away and it freed me of pain that I was having for years and years and years. So that was a good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one. What does having a rich life mean to you?
A rich life is being able to control your time, spending time doing what you want, with whom you want, and when you want. That is the rich life to me, is having the ability to control that time, control that calendar, because there is nothing better than being able to do that.
Yeah, I agree. Something people buy to look wealthy, but it's actually keeping them broke.
Cars are the biggest thing that we see here. I come across so many people with $1,500, $1,700, $2,000 car payments, and they are parking those cars in a middle-class neighborhood, and that is the surest sign to see if someone is broke.
Yeah, I was in LA for 24 years, and many people were car rich and house poor. They were putting all their money into their car and living in like tiny little studio or one-bedroom apartments, because that in that culture, everyone's trying to look wealthy, so... I think I agree. One word you want people to associate with money after hearing this episode?
Money is just a tool. It's a tool.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for all the wisdom. I know people are going to want to find you online, check out your website. Where can people find you?
Sure. So if you like podcasts, you can listen to me and on the Personal Finance Podcast. We have a great episode with you. And I think this is going to be one that people will absolutely love. So definitely check that out. It's coming out in the next couple of days. And then secondly, if you want to find me on social media, I am at Master Money Co. on all the different platforms. We talk about wealth building, money, finance, and all those different areas from TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and all the other socials. And if you like newsletters, we have a 5-minute newsletter that we send out every single week called the Master Money Newsletter. If you go to mastermoney.co/newsletter, that's a great place to find that. And if you want any money tools, if you go to mastermoney.co/resources, we have a bunch of free money tools there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for being a wonderful guest. And thank you, everyone, for going on the journey with me that you can find success and high achievement, not through the hustle and grind, but through aligning your life in the 7 pillars of abundance. Make sure you share this episode with a friend. There were a lot of incredible nuggets that Andrew shared that your friends can benefit from. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. So excited to share a review from Melissa Myers, the Glow Girl. She says, inspiring podcast. Rebecca has a gift for creating meaningful, empowering conversations that leave you feeling inspired and uplifted. Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant is like sitting down with a wise, soulful friend who truly wants you to thrive in every area of your life. I love how she blends practical advice with spiritual insights. I'm so grateful I found it. Well, Melissa, we're so grateful that you found us, and we can't wait to find out how you are glowing and growing by using this podcast as a tool. And everybody who's listening and sharing, thank you so much for your support. And it's such a joy to be on this journey with you.
Level up, don't look back, let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No, so much.